Israeli peace activist Uri Avneri has had the kind of life you only read about in novels. Born in Germany in 1923, he moved to Palestine with his family when Hitler came to power. Just before he turned 15, Avneri joined the Jewish underground to fight the British colonial regime. In 1948, he enlisted in the Israeli army and later fought as a commando on the Egyptian front, where he was wounded. But Avneri became angry at the way Israel treated the Palestinians. After the war, he launched a journalistic career and campaigned for the rights of Arabs. In the 50s, the chief of the Israeli secret police called him public enemy number one. His magazine's editorial offices and printing facilities were bombed several times. In 1972, arson destroyed his offices. A few years later, he barely survived an assassination attempt, escaping with severe knife wounds. For decades, Uri Avneri has been one of Israel's most outspoken advocates of a separate Palestinian state. Last month, he was awarded the Right Livelihood Award, often called the Alternative Nobel Prize. He says now more than ever, it is essential for Israelis and Palestinians to make peace.
It's necessary for us, it's necessary for the Palestinians, and it's not less necessary for the United States of America, because this conflict now touches the basic national interests of the United States.
Everybody seems to agree that it would be desirable to have peace. I guess that the thing that no one can quite grasp at the moment is how to get there.
Well, it's not desirable. It's absolutely necessary, because you cannot fight against terrorism while every day things are done which get the emotions of the Arab masses to an ever higher pitch of hatred and rage against the United States. It has to be reached by a combination of the peace forces in Israel, the will of the Palestinian people, and a new element. There must be a massive intervention by the United States of America.
In recent days, the reaction of the Israeli government to American suggestions or statements has not been very positive. Do you think that's going to change?
No. I think we are on a collision course between the United States government and the government of Israel, because what Mr. Sharon and his government consider in Israel's interest, and I think they are mistaken, but that's what they think, and what the United States government now perceives to be necessary for the conduct of the war against terrorism are diametrically opposed.
Now, you support, I gather, a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian problem. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Can you tell me what you mean by that? Can you outline your two-state proposal?
In our country, a small country, we have two peoples living side by side in a conflict, in a war which goes on for already some 120 years. And the solution is, as we cannot possibly live in the same state, we have to live in two states living next to each other, side by side. The state of Israel, which consists now of 78% of the country, which used to be Palestine, and the state of Palestine, consisting of the West Bank and Gaza, which together are 22% of what used to be Palestine. These two states must live side by side. Jerusalem must be the shared capital of these states, West Jerusalem, capital of Israel, and East Jerusalem, capital of Palestine. The Israeli settlements inside Palestine must be removed, evacuated, and we must find a sensible, practical, but also just solution for the refugee problem. I think these are the outlines of any possible peace.
There are so many things to talk about in this proposal. Can I start by asking you, what would the physical layout of the Palestinian state be? Would it be simply the West Bank and Gaza?
Yes. With a road or a bridge or a railway connecting them to each other. But it must be the whole territory of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The border which existed before 1967, before the war, Six Days War, must be reinstituted. Perhaps I hope that the two governments of Israel and Palestine, once they come to this point, will be able to agree on some exchanges of territories so that some Israeli settlements which are near the border will be incorporated in Israel and an equivalent territory of Israel will be turned over to the Palestinians.
What are the advantages to Israel in this? Why should Israel agree to this?
For a very simple reason. The only alternative to this is an eternal war, and the Middle East is filling up with arms of mass destruction. You here are afraid about anthrax. The Middle East is full of anthrax. Every state in the Middle East has immense quantities of anthrax ready for biological warfare. There's poison gas in great quantities. There is the nuclear capability of Israel on one side and the absolute certainty that within 5 years, several states in the Middle East, including Iran, will have the atom bomb, which Pakistan already have. This is becoming by far too dangerous for everybody concerned.
One of the pieces of the proposal that you support, the two-state solution, is to divide Jerusalem, or rather, I guess, to make Jerusalem the kind of shared capital of the two countries. Jerusalem has been contested territory for decades. Do you think that Israelis and Palestinians would ever agree to share control of the city of Jerusalem?
Indeed, yes, I think so. I think that our proposal about Jerusalem, the shared city, jointly administered, has been worked out in close cooperation with the leaders of the Palestinian community in Jerusalem, the late Faisal Husseini and others. This is a solution to which both sides can agree. And let me point out that a year ago, when the then Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, at Camp David, seemed to propose just that. He did not actually, but this is how it was reported in the Israeli newspapers. There was not one single big demonstration in Israel against it. The people took it very calmly and as a price worthwhile paying for peace. East Jerusalem, if you take it off the level of ideologies and religious fanaticism, East Jerusalem is inhabited by a Palestinian Arab population. Every Israeli knows this. For years of the Intifada, practically no Israeli crossed the invisible border in Jerusalem and went to East Jerusalem because it was too dangerous. The people know that East Jerusalem is a different city and belongs to a different country, a different population, a different culture. And therefore, giving up East Jerusalem is not really a very big price in the eyes of the people of Israel.
We have seen some suggestion recently that the president, the new Bush administration, has called for a two-state solution. Do you see what they have said as being reasonable?
I think it's a very big step forward and a direct result of September 11. I think the American experts for the Middle East realize that the emotions created by the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the American attitude towards this conflict have created the emotions on which Mr. Bin Laden is riding high. Mr. Bin Laden never cared a damn for the Palestinians. He never lifted a finger for the Palestinians. But when he made these outrages and he needed support of the Arab masses, he suddenly adopted the Palestinian issue and said, I do this for Palestine, without being asked by the Palestinians. And he says this because the emotions caused by the Palestinian conflict are becoming so strong that he can use it. I think it's a basic American interest to do exactly the opposite. Namely, as a part of the war against terrorism, win over the Arab masses to the cause of peace, to the cause of democracy, to the cause of freedom, by solving the Palestinian problem in a way acceptable to both people, the Israelis and the Palestinians. I think such a way exists. It is there. Everything is lying on the table. We know exactly what the parameters of peace are going to be. So let's do it now.
Now, you actually once fought for Israel, didn't you? You were a commando in the Israeli army?
Yes, indeed. I was wounded in action on the Egyptian front.
You have also had a long career opposing official policy in Israel. I read that you were once called public enemy number one by David Ben-Gurion's government. Is that too also right?
Yes, that's right. And I, at the time, considered this a great compliment.
I guess that answers my next question. After all these years and not achieving peace, what keeps you going?
I don't accept the first sentence. I believe that we have traveled an immense distance towards peace. If you take into account that 50 years ago, 53 years ago, when we started on our road, nobody in Israel accepted even the idea that there exists a Palestinian people. And Golda Meir said there is no such thing as a Palestinian people. Now everybody in Israel accepts that there is a Palestinian people. And when I started, when I met Arafat for the first time in Beirut, besieged by the Israeli army, four cabinet ministers demanded to put me to trial for treason. Today, Israeli cabinet ministers stand in line before the door of Arafat and want to meet him. When we raise the idea that there must be a Palestinian state side by side with Israel if you want to have peace, this was completely rejected by nearly everyone. And now public opinion polls show that the vast majority of Israelis accept the notion that without a Palestinian state, there will be no peace. So if you take all this into account, there's absolutely no reason for pessimism, because in the end, there's no choice, neither for the Palestinians nor for the Israelis, except to make peace.
Israeli peace activist Uri Avneri, winner of the Right Livelihood Award.